Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. It's time to grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars above for the whole week ahead, or at least the week ahead, as it seems to me at the moment. I always have thoughts. That's the advantage of being a Gemini. We think a lot. But I thought, as I looked at the week on my calendar, that, oh, it looks like a quiet week. But that was before I looked at the human design calendar and saw the words chaos and impact and thought, oh, maybe not so quiet, right? So we'll have a lot to talk about this morning in terms of the astrology, but also through the human design. It's not that it's a bad week, but it is one that might have an element of unpredictability to it, and one that creates the potential for us to get involved in conflict or in confrontation, especially since we start the week with the moon in Aries and having transitioned out of Pisces yesterday late after the new moon in Pisces. Hopefully everybody set their new moon intentions and is ready to create their reality as they go on into the month or to the rest of the month. So today we're going to start by talking about the moon in Aries. As I always like to start with the moon, it's the fastest moving piece on the chessboard. So there are lots of opportunities there to talk about how that impact of the moon changes our moods and so forth. And then as well, today Venus, the planet of love and finances and harmony, beauty, moves out of Aquarius, where she's been a little more stilted, into the sign of Pisces, where she can also get her beauty out, her imagination and fantasy flying, her romantic side can be more expressed. And then as she moves into Pisces today, she moves right into a semi-sextile transit with the planet Pluto, or aspect with the planet Pluto. And that has an impact as well, albeit a minor one. Semi-sextiles are not like in your face anything, but they're subtle and they have an impact that's happening in behind the scenes sort of thing. And then as well, tomorrow, the planet Jupiter is moving out of the gate it has been in for a while and into gate two. And gate two is a gate of allowing, being receptive, receiving, right? It's one half of a money line in our human design charts. And Jupiter is, of course, the planet of growth and expansion. So we can expect that our need to be willing to receive or allow is going to be heightened. We'll talk about that. And the very next day, the 13th of March, the planet Saturn moves into the gate of self-doubt. Now, you might remember we talked about this gate just a week ago when the sun was sitting in the gate 63. That would have been from March 1st through 6th. So you're already familiar with the gate of self-doubt, but now we have the planet of discipline, responsibility, form, and structure coming to roost at this gate for a while. And how is that going to impact our ability to live our truths, right? And to be in our personal authenticity and authority. We'll be talking about that. And then as well, we're going to talk about the human design week, not shifting until, let's see, on the 12th, excuse me, the, yeah, 13th. So on Wednesday, shifting to the gate 36, the gate of turbulence or chaos, and the earth will be in the gate 6, the gate of impact, right? So it is a week that, you know, on the surface, while there weren't a lot of transits happening or, you know, aspect patterns that made me go, the very energy of the week itself without any of the movements of planets seems to be designed to shake us up a bit, right? To kind of create a little bit of chaos. So if we I'll show you what that chart looks like here. By the way, Venus moves into Pisces at 2:51 p.m. West Coast time. So right now she is sitting at the 29th degree of the sign of Aquarius. So there may be some lessons that we're completing around Venus in Aquarius, which was, remember, linking innovation and invention, i.e. Aquarian ideals with Venus. So living in harmony and being in the flow and being receptive. Okay. So here's what our chart looks like for the day. And you can see there's Aries and Pisces. That is where the bulk of the planets are. Saturn, Sun, and Neptune in Pisces with Venus joining them shortly. And then Aries, look at that. Mercury, the Moon, the North Node, Chiron, and Eris. And one lone little planet over here, the Black Moon Lilith, holding the space, holding the handle, if you will, of that bucket pattern. So if you're noticing in your own life that you have been dealing with shadow energies, or if your own fears or your own subconscious patterns are coming up to the surface, that would be why, right? Because there's so much that can be brought up for us at this moment in time. It's like, you know, all the things that are hidden in the bucket are being pulled out by the Black Moon Lilith, who is, you know, wanting us to clear our shadows, to see what it is that we've been hiding from ourselves, or what has been hidden in the subconscious mind. And that can be patterns, it can be old beliefs, it could be reasons why you're holding on to something, not being willing to let go. And so that's being shaken up for everybody. That's not just a one sign. This is the whole of the collective being shaken up in some way, shape, or form around letting go of the shadows or clearing out the shadows, right? So sometimes that's difficult, right? There's there's a lot of shadows that we hold, a lot of fears, a lot of things that are, you know, not clear to us. Like, we don't understand our motivations necessarily for some things. And the passage of the Black Moon Lilith, especially when she's holding the handle of all these planets, can be a great tool for awakening us to being more conscious about the things that lie in our unconscious mind, the things that we don't see. And then we have a day like today where the moon is moving through Aries after having been in Pisces for the last couple of days. So remember, it was a new moon on Sunday, and the new moon gives us opportunities to start something new, something imaginative and creative, or being more sensitive to maybe the subtle energies and the pull of them on our lives, and what direction maybe are we being subtly, but maybe pushed toward in our lives. And then the moon moves out of Pisces and into Aries, and now we have the opportunity for action, because Aries is giving us, or the moon in Aries is giving us this surge of dynamic, assertive, and possibly impulsive action. Right? It's an action sign. It's the first sign of the zodiac. It is ruled by the planet Mars. So we have Mars and Moon in a relationship here, and it's characterized by traits like courage and initiative and spontaneity. And we can expect then that there's the possibility of emotional impulsivity, right? The things that make us later go, I wish I had put my foot in my mouth, or I hadn't put my foot in my mouth, such as the case might be. Emotions tend to be raw when the moon is in Aries, passionate, immediate, right? There's a sense that we want emotional release in some way. We may feel a strong urge to take action or assert ourselves, and often without thinking. So this could be a time of act first, think later, right? Or feel later, where the consequences don't dawn on us until after. So we have to bring more consciousness to our experiences, to our thought processes, to our emotions during this period of time. But we also have, we're granted more courage and confidence during this time as well. A boost in self-assurance, where we feel good about ourselves, about what we can do, making it easier for us all to tackle anything head on, as opposed to coming around the side route or coming in the back door. We actually have this front door relationship with getting things done at this point in time. We're kind of embracing our inner warrior or our inner warrior goddess, god or goddess, doesn't matter. and being able to face obstacles that we've been, that we've known are in our path, and being determined to work through them, right? To get past them. This is a time for impatience and restlessness as well. And that can be driving some of the actions that we take. So we want to be very aware, is this something I'm actually using my free will to do? Or is this being born from a sense of boredom or restlessness, or being impatient with progress? So we might have to face, you know, that need to take action and embrace it with a little more patience, right? Because impatience is the sort of the rule of the day, but maybe it would be better to be much more patient. The moon in Aries is also about independence and self-expression, two big key themes of Aries energy in the first place. So individuality, independence are emphasized while the moon, or while any planet, by the way, is moving through the sign of Aries. And we have several, right? So it's not just the moon, but the moon adds the emotion behind it now for us to seek that independence or to seek that self-expression. And that might mean sometimes that we have to break away from the status quo, the moon granting us a bit of the opportunity to move away from what has been and to stir up the pot a bit, maybe being more expressive, self-expressive. That's the key, right? Self-expression. But that can also lead to conflict and confrontation. And of course, we don't want to create more of that than what we need, you know, to move ourselves forward. But sometimes conflicts arise easily during a transit like this. And it doesn't mean that we have to be reactive to whatever conflict or confrontation or stimulus to that is in our lives, right? We always have the choice. We could stop and not take any action until we have clarity. We could zip our lips so that we don't say anything in a knee-jerk fashion, right? That we don't, you know, jump out at someone or jump down someone's throat because they say something that we interpret incorrectly. But also, we have to channel this assertive energy to avoid unnecessary confrontations. If you feel yourself reaching the boiling point or coming, you know, up to a blurt situation, it might be better to walk away, right? Just to walk away, say, let's deal with this later, right? It's not a good time. And remove yourself from any confrontational situations. It doesn't mean that you're hiding from the confrontation. It says, I know better right now, right? The energy right now is too volatile. And I'm feeling volatile. And if I'm feeling volatile, I might say or do something that makes it worse instead of better. So let's just take this up maybe tomorrow or the next day when the moon moves into Taurus. let's do it another time. but also, there are quick mood shifts during a moon in Aries. There's quick mood shifts when the moon is in any sign. I mean, that's just part of the moon's transiting, right? But we can experience mood shifts in a way that can be startling, like all of a sudden we're excited about something, or that we have this, you know, sudden burst of energy that moves us to action. And this is where impulsivity comes from. And, you know, it's great to have that enthusiasm. It's great to be excited. But what is that enthusiasm or excitement leading you to do? That's the question. If it's leading you to do something positive or something you've been thinking about doing and considering for a while, that's much different than just leaping, right? So if I've been considering changing jobs or moving or buying something, you know, big ticket item, and it's already been a part of my consideration, and then I choose to take action today or in the next day or two, that's different than suddenly deciding to leap out and do something that you may regret later because you didn't have clarity around it. So overall, the transit of the moon in Aries is always going to be energizing and vigorous, like giving us a lot of access to a lot of energy. And it can be very inspiring to us to take action, right? Or to embrace this idea of change, to embrace boldness, the fire energy, the passion energy here that's available, and move that toward our goals, right? That's the best use of this, how to take that next step. But it's crucial to remember that this can also lead us to conflict and confrontation. So we have to, you know, embrace our patience, our diplomatic sides, right? Being more tactful in the way that we talk to people, considering other people's emotions and feelings before we take action. And that way we avoid the unnecessary conflict that can arise with, you know, people maybe, or your interpretation of people getting in your way, right? So we want to be very careful of that. Let's say good morning to people who are checking in. Tom, I saw you first up there this morning. He says, where does the time go? I know. Time changes are just so brutal, aren't they? It's just one little hour, but it can feel so topsy-turvy when, you know, for the last week or so, we were 2 weeks, maybe even, we were waking up and it was light, and now we're waking back up in the dark. I hate that. It was like, ugh. But then last night it was light late. So there's like the give and the take, right? We've got just to manage time here. Christine, good morning to you. She loves Al. I keep singing that song in my mind. And of course, Tom, you know, said, where does the time go? So it made me go, oh, time keeps flowing like a river. And J-Lo, happy moon day to you as well. Narges, good morning. LS says, hi all. J-Lo, hope everyone had a great weekend. Hello, Tom, you've been hiding. He does that periodically. Asa, good morning to you. And Nancy Ross, good morning. J-Lo said, it's so interesting. I'm in that conundrum and I see, feel, and know what it is, but woo-wee, walking away. J-Lo says, I did fun feng shui my room. I had fun feng shuiing my room. That would be fun. What was it? Something about feng shui came up for me over the weekend too. That's kind of funny. What was it? Anyway, that is a good thing to do. And let's see, Christine, breathe and count to 10, get a triple turtle for family harmony. Christine says it's a mini jet lag. It is. It is like a jet lag. My daughter and family got a new puppy yesterday, and it is the most adorable little thing. They got it to be a companion to their older dog, Loki. And they went to a shelter, a no-kill shelter, and they walked around with all the dogs on Saturday, and they picked out this one dog. But one of the rules is, if you have a dog already at home, you have to bring that dog back to the shelter to make sure that that they get along. If they don't get along, then they're not going to let you take that dog home. And Loki was like, yeah, well, whatever. He was just too busy smelling things. He likes the puppy, but he doesn't really care too much about the puppy. It's so funny. They get along, which was the marker, right? They had to get along. No fighting was involved. But he's like, yeah, whatever. It's just another animal. It was kind of funny. I expected him to be like playful with the puppy. Okay, so let's go on to the next piece this morning, and that is Venus moving into Pisces. Like I said, that doesn't happen until 2:51 this afternoon, so we're right now at the 29th degree of Aquarius, finishing Venus, you know, values, harmony, peace, money, relationships, all, you know, finishing that, you know, innovative, inventive, let's see it in a new way kind of energy. And then now she is getting ready to move into Pisces. And that's a blending of the energies of love and beauty and harmony with the sensitivity and the empathy of Pisces energy. And it's a unique combination, and it can be very dreamy and romantic and compassionate for us in our expressions of love, right? And our values. So first off, we have enhanced empathy for sure, because that is what Pisces is all about, empathy, right? And compassion. So we may see more acts of kindness or understanding between people where there's been conflict. Maybe this is a huge bringer of peace. And it is a heightened appreciation as well for art and music and beauty. Look at us talking all about songs this morning. And indeed, creativity is enhanced during this period of time. Venus often is the artist or the artist within us. She kind of brings out our artistry in whichever creative format we are using, whether it is art or music or speaking or teaching or business, doesn't really matter. She can trigger more of that beautiful artistic expression. And also, you know, there's a spiritual aspect to all of this, right? Venus is known as the planet or the goddess of love, but this might also be enhanced love or spiritual love that is being brought to us as well. And a level of soul intimacy, recognizing each other at the soul level. There's definitely the romantic concerns between people deepening during this kind of transit as well. But it is definitely more of the deeper kind of soul level love that we're talking about while Venus is in Pisces, where we recognize each other at some kind of soul level, and we have a deeper connection with one another, a mutual understanding of one another. So on an individual level, I'm not sure this will play out on the collective that much, but on an individual level, we are more open to seeing deeper into a person, seeing more about what makes them tick. And on another level, though, there's a chance that we might be over-idealizing a relationship or a person. So we have to beware of that during the transit because, you know, there is that Neptunian rulership of Pisces, and that sometimes is where we get into that dreamy, not seeing the real, but getting more into the ideal of someone. And that means that either you can become the one that's idealized by someone else, or you're engaging in a fantasy or an illusion of what you think somebody is or who you think somebody is. So we just want to avoid that by being practical in our ideas of love and seeing each other for our truths rather than for the ideal. Now, on a broader scale, in more of the collective, this is a collective healing, right? Inspiring acts of compassion, altruism, humanitarianism, and there might be an increased focus that we have on, you know, healing the wounds between us. There may be more common ground available during this transit. She's only here until April 5th, so less than a month, but things can smooth out for us a bit. It doesn't mean that the adversity or the conflict goes away. It means that we are each bringing something more to the table in terms of empathy and compassion. And again, that soul connection, soul seeing, right? We're seeing each other's souls. So it's an invitation with Venus in Pisces for us to embrace the more spiritual, sensitive, empathetic, compassionate sides of ourselves. It's an invitation to be more creative, to be more artistic even, or bring more artistry into everything that we do, and to kind of tap into the magic of life, right? This can be kind of magical energy during this particular transit. So maybe we can foster a more harmonious world. Wouldn't that be nice? I'm not sure. We would need a lot of Venus and Pisces energy to do that, but it's always possible. And it always starts with each of us as individuals and how we bring that inner peace to the table. How do we bring empathy and the consciousness of compassion to the forefront in each of our lives? Now, as I also said in the beginning this morning, when transiting Venus moves into Pisces, she moves right away into a relationship with Pluto in Aquarius. And Aquarius and Pisces are neighboring signs. That is a semi-sextile. they will be in a 30 degree relationship with one another. Now, it's a subtle influence. This is not a major aspect. It's a minor aspect, but it's still significant because you're bringing an interplay between two planets, right? That are one that's newly in a new sign and the other one that has a lot of power of transformation with it. So again, Venus in Pisces represents love, beauty, harmony, compassion, empathy. And remember, Pluto in Aquarius is that transformational power, intensity. Pluto's energy right now is infused with innovation, invention, rebellion. Don't forget that quality. And the drive for social change, right? That's a big deal, social change. And a bigger deal as we get into the show this morning, we're going to talk about Jupiter and Saturn both changing gates one day apart. And those two are the drivers of social change. So what kind of change is being brought? And Venus and Pluto today kind of setting the stage or setting the tone for that. And remember, the semi-sextile is a minor aspect, but it brings up the need for growth and integration, but also cooperation. It's like neither one can do it alone. So in the different aspects of planets that will come into contact with Pluto or will come into contact with Venus or any other planet for that matter, they work together to create the ability for transformation. Now, that doesn't mean that they always work together well, right? Sometimes it's the exact opposite. It's how they conflict with one another that can create the change. But in this case, in the semi-sextile aspect, they're not necessarily at cross purposes, but Venus is just reminding us that change and innovation and transformation go a whole lot better when there's empathy and compassion engaged rather than just brutal, you're going to change or else. Okay. Interesting thing, right? So while we have this potential for change, it is done with love. It is done with care. It is done with compassion. Okay. Now, during this transit, all of us may feel a deepening of our emotional connections in our relationships. And there could be a desire to explore the depths of intimacy here. And are we in deep relationships or have we superficialized our relationships where we're, you know, just high by kind of people or, you know, not really caring deeply about much of what's going on? We might also feel the need to uncover truths, hidden truths, things that have been hidden from us. And creativity here can also, you know, Venus in Pisces, creative. But it might also be fueled with the need for rebirth and renewal. And that might lead us to innovate something, right? Or change something in an appreciable sort of way. It is also a sort of visionary transit. It triggers our need to see beyond, right? To see something bigger. Now, it's important that we navigate any transit, especially one like this that has potential to create a little bit of chaos in behind the scenes, that we embrace it with openness and receptivity. And that's being helped by a transit of Jupiter moving into the gate of receptivity and allowing. So I think it gets easier with time here, but be willing to delve into the complexities in your relationships, all of your relationships, and then embrace the transformative power of love. That's what this whole transit seems to be talking about. It's embracing the kind of interplay, the interweaving of transformation, love energy, and your relationships, your individuality as well gets pulled into this. So expressing yourself authentically, being your true self, and allowing that for others goes a long way to working with this particular energy. All right. Good morning, Teddy. And hello all, let's see, that's Jacqueline. Good morning, Jacqueline. And She said it was stormy and windy Saturday night in Oregon. Yep, it was windy for days here. Stormy-ish. And I guess I just saw another wind advisory for us. So apparently it's going to get stormy-ish again-ish. Not surprising-ish. Okay. Now let's switch to human design. You know, I love to weave, right, the stories of astrology and human design. Because I think, you know, what you don't see clearly in one system, you can see clearly in another system. And energetically, it makes sense to use a couple of systems. Astrology is very much more mechanical, right? It's about the planets moving through degrees of space and then how they interact with one another as they're doing that. And then how does that fall in your own personal chart in terms of a transit or in terms of a progression? And you get this idea, you've got signs, so that gives you this energy signature. But then with human design, we get more depth in that. Like all of us know right now that Jupiter is transiting through Taurus. And we know the themes associated with Taurus, or if you've been a listener of my show for a while, you know, we've talked about the idea that our finances are being impacted, that the ideas of Taurus's stability and the foundational energies are being sort of brought to a next level with the energy of Jupiter passing through here. Being more optimistic, even. We can even see the impact of Jupiter and Taurus on the economy as the economy steadily adds more jobs and the pressures of inflation ease back a bit. And we're feeling more optimistic about the economy in general. Not everybody is, but in general, we're feeling that. And that's a part of Jupiter's transit in the sign of Taurus. And eventually, we learn all of the lessons that Jupiter has to teach us while it is going through a sign. Now, enter into human design. In human design, not only do we know that Jupiter is transiting through the sign of Taurus, but we know what gate in our human design, what level of DNA is being impacted by the transit of Jupiter. And that gives us clear ideas about how to embrace the energy. So it's like, you know, we have these different degrees, if you look at it through astrology, and those different degrees have different meanings based on human design, the gate that it is moving through. So let's take a look. I want to show you, let's see if I can do this correctly this morning. I want to show you a chart. In just a moment, you're going to see a human design chart. In fact, I think you're seeing it now. This is the human design template. And I've got a couple of things kind of outlined here for you. But let's talk about this one first. This center is called the identity center. It is where the magnetic monopole lives. And if you've never heard me use that term before, let me explain. In center of you is your soul, right? If we looked at you, the crossroads of who you are is the soul. And the soul lives in the magnetic monopole. This is also called the G center, the gravity center. And in this center, it is the center for identity. It is the center that attracts only. It doesn't have repelling ability. It only has attraction ability. And the magnetic monopole, then, you could think of as a one-way magnet that is attracting to you the right experiences, opportunities, relationships that coincide with the level of learning that the soul requires in this lifetime or was looking for in this lifetime. Okay. So for every one of you, you have an identity center. Your identity center might be open, which would mean it's white. Like if I take the color out of this, it would be white, meaning it's not defined. It doesn't mean that you don't have an identity. It means that your identity isn't set in stone, right? It's a chameleon quality that changes by the people that you are in relationship with or the groups that you are associating with or the environment that you find yourself in. And then when you come into contact with other people, when you have an open identity center, you tend to take in their identities and amplify it and then rebroadcast it. It is a place where you can become something that is not you, right? The not self can be very catalyzed here. But it is also a place where you know people, right? When you have an open identity center, you know people. Why do you know people? Because every person that you come into contact with, every animal, every plant, everything that has an energetic signature, you try it on and it becomes you. And if it becomes you and you're not consciously aware of that, then you are acting in a way that isn't right for you, right? You lose your authenticity. You lose your own personal authority. But if you know this about yourself and you are temporarily taking on someone's identity, the way that you know people is because you're feeling what they're feeling, perhaps, or you're caught in an identity that you don't recognize as being you. This is when you're conscious about it. And then you're in a very awesome place of being able to help others, right? Because you know people. Now, then when we have transits of planets that come to a gate that might be on your open identity center, it adds a level of energy, of identity that you haven't seen before, perhaps, or haven't seen recently, right? Jupiter hasn't been in this gate for 12 years easily. So this is something new added to the energy of who you are. Okay. And it's called the energy of allowing or being receptive, right? Being open to receiving. Now, let's turn it around. If you have an identity center that is defined, it would have color in it. It's probably not purple, unless you got your chart from my website here. It would be yellow, right? If you have a yellow diamond rather than a white diamond, then you have a defined identity center, which means you have a defined identity. No matter who you're around, you are you, right? You don't change necessarily, which means that, you know, you're always broadcasting an identity. Now, when you have a new gate being defined on a defined identity center, it's adding a level of expression to it, right? I do not have gate 2 defined, but now I will have gate 2 defined. And that brings up issues for me, perhaps, around allowing and receiving, right? Learning about it, not having issues necessarily with it, because remember, it's Jupiter, a benefic planet, a planet that opens our mind to receiving, in this case, to allowing the flow of prosperity, of abundance, of opportunity, of love, right? Of identity. So the gate 2. Now, some of you, whether you have this open or defined, might have gate 2 already defined. And that's possible. You can have the gate 2 hanging, like this is a hanging gate right here, because it's only partway across. So you can have an open identity center and still have the gate 2 hanging, right? You can have a defined identity center and have the gate 2 hanging, or maybe it's what defined your identity center with the sacral through the gate 14. It's possible. Either way you look at it, if you have the gate 2 already defined, you have at various times and places in your life been dealing with the energy of receptivity and allowing, right? Being willing to be, this is the most yin gate in all of human design. And the most yin gate means it's about allowing. Sometimes it's just about stepping back and allowing things to flow, rather than pushing or forcing, right? The gate 1 is the most yang. It's the gate that pushes out. Gate 2, the yin, receives, right? Receives. And again, you might have this hanging in your chart, or it's connected to the gate 14. Either way you look at it, now you're adding the transit of the planet Jupiter on top of this. So now you're learning lessons, or maybe reaping the benefits of the lessons you've learned around allowing. Okay. So let's look at this a little bit deeper. This transit is going to amplify the qualities of receptivity, of acceptance, and openness. Those are three big words: openness, receptivity, and acceptance. And that's for everyone, right? It's being amplified because Jupiter is sitting at this gate. Now, some of the key ideas: embracing trust. During this transit, all of us are going to need to learn to trust in the natural flow, the natural unfolding of life, right? That everything, just allowing, stepping back, no stranglehold on when or how you think or what you think should happen, when it should happen, how it should happen, who it should happen with. It's relaxing and just relieving yourself of the pressure, the stress of trying to make things happen. There's a deep sense of faith that we are, you know, a part of a universe here, and recognizing that everything happens in its own right time with purpose, greater patience and understanding. We get the idea that we're not being held back from our good. There's nobody that is taking our toys away from us, that everything is unfolding as it should in its right timing, right? Allowing for the universe, allowing for your magnetic monopole in this case to attract the right timing of events or the right people or the right resources to you. Now, Jupiter's influence here also heightens our intuitive abilities, our sensitivity to the subtle energies that are available on the planet. It's like gate two somehow just amps that up for us. And it might even dawn on us, like clarifying our purpose. I hope that, you know, everybody has that as an experience. So while surrendering to the flow of life, it is essential for us to remember that this isn't passivity or complacency, right? Being in the flow does not mean that you don't take action when it's appropriate. That's not what we're saying here. We're saying to be in the flow of allowing. And allowing means you take action when the right thing, timing, the right person, the right opportunity are in front of you. You don't just sit back and wait and wait and wait. You are paying attention. You are allowing rather than forcing or pushing. You're more like sitting here and attracting the right opportunities to you. So avoid passivity and complacency, but also balance the allowing, the flow, with taking proactive steps, right? When things happen, or when you are prompted, when something shows up in your outer world, if you're a generator or manifesting generator, when you're invited in, if you're a projector, when you have a creative aha moment, if you're a manifester, and if you're a reflector and the people around you are reflecting the need to take action, then take action. Okay, this doesn't mean sit back and do nothing. It means, though, allowing the flow, right? So embracing openness, surrendering to flow, trusting in the wisdom of the universe and in the timing of the universe, cultivating the balance between allowing and taking inspired action, then this transit of Jupiter at gate two can help you clarify your purpose, you know, bring you opportunities to explore the next steps for you, and in a way that allows it to unfold rather than pushing it to happen. Okay, hopefully that all makes sense. Now, I also want to talk about Saturn, because now that's tomorrow that Jupiter changes gates. On Wednesday, Saturn changes gates. And Saturn and Jupiter together, they sort of rule the society and the culture that we're in, right? They're the transpersonal planets, we call them. They lie between the personal planets that are affecting us as individuals and the outer planets that are affecting us as humanity or as on an evolutionary level. Saturn and Jupiter really kind of tell the tale about the shifts in our society and our cultures, right? So it's not just you as an individual that was having the Jupiter shift its society and culture at large, right? And then the next day, society and culture are being changed again, shifting through the planet Saturn. Now, when we look at Jupiter and Saturn side by side, you have Jupiter that is about the exhale, right? The bigger picture, the optimism, the big picture, the wonder, the awe, you know, the growth and expansion energy. And then there's Saturn, which is more about the focus and the discipline and the structure and the due diligence and being goal-oriented. And it sees the smaller picture, right? So the step-by-step picture, and Jupiter is the bigger picture. So side-by-side changing gates, it's a very interesting thing to see. So in the gate 63, as we talked about last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago now, because the sun was transiting through the gate 63, the gate of doubt, right? So now Saturn is embracing skepticism by transiting through the gate 63, which is called the gate of doubt. So what is that going to mean for all of us? So it is a time, a period of time where introspection is very necessary, where we might need to be more critical, like taking a critical eye or a critical look at all of the things that are going on in our lives, of all the steps that we want to take or that we should take or not take. It is a time for us to confront in uncertainties and with skepticism in some cases, never doubting your own heart or your own skills or your own self, but maybe being more skeptical about what you're hearing from other people. And, you know, it's really noisy out there in the world right now, right? Every day I'm getting, I don't know how I got enrolled in political action type stuff, but I keep getting text messages now and messenger messages about everybody's campaign, whether I like that person or not. Somehow I got, so it's noisy out there. Right? It's noisy. And it is a time for us to then be very aware of what that information flow is bringing to us. Okay. And the gate 63 is up here on the head center. And these gates in the head center are interesting, right? Because first of all, it's up above it's in the plane above you, so the spiritual plane, plus it's also into the body, because you can see the outline of the head here, right? So this is the only center that lies above into the spirit world, if you will, and it acts as an antenna, and it attracts to us, right? It attracts thoughts and ideas and the stream of consciousness information, but it's information that is not necessarily true or false. It's just information, right? It's ideas. Doesn't say that we should take action on the idea. It doesn't say that this thought that we had was true. It's just information that's coming in. These three gates collectively are called the gates of madness, kind of in a colloquial sort of way. Why? Because gate 64 is confusion. Gate 61 is awe, wonder. And 63 is doubt. And, you know, this is not a place, this thinking place is not where we make decisions from, because there's confusion, because there's doubt, because there's like, wonder. And while those energies are not bad energies, they're just not a good place for us to make decisions from. So if you're, you know, filled with doubt about yourself, it isn't a good place to make decisions from, right? There's no way. Like if you're doubting your skills or you're doubting your heart, and how are you going to move forward? So we have to be very watchful of the energy of gate 63. We want to be able to have the ability to critically reflect on information, right? We want to pause and reflect on beliefs, on decisions, and actions before we take them. We don't want to run it through a filter of self-doubt, though, right? We want to be able to just take a deeper examination of our motivation, of our intentions, of the motivations and intentions of others, even, right? All right. Skeptical inquiry. The Gate 63 is a great one for asking all of the questions. The why, the how, is this true? Is this possible? What more is possible? And it Saturn being here amplifies that energy of the necessary inquiry that it takes to make a decision. It's scrutinizing energy, scrutinizing ideas before you take and make a commitment or before you take action. And it is a heightened sense of self-awareness and introspection on your own motivations without trying to doubt your reasoning. Right? You're balancing this. So it's a self-assessment, I guess you could say. It's time to self-assess. And you're encouraged to confront your own doubts about yourself or about what information you're hearing. Like meet the uncertainties head on. Don't try to hide from them. Because that leads to personal growth and development in this case, right? We're strengthening our foundation by asking questions, by looking for and refining the information that we have coming in, strengthening the foundation of our beliefs, actually by questioning our beliefs. Why do I believe that? Right? I've always believed XYZ. Why is that? Is that true? Is there a bigger truth that I'm not seeing? Right? Asking questions. Confront the challenges that emerge with that question, right? So as a people, as a collective, or as a society and culture, we're having to confront some questions and then take a disciplined approach to solving problems and making decisions. It's a big deal. And it might be a useful time for us to methodically search for and analyze the questions and the answers, right? To make your lists. Now, typically, I'm not a big list person. I'm not a big pros and cons person because I just feel like that sometimes is more confusing than it needs to be. But certainly this might be a time where you make some of those so you get your thoughts onto paper so you can see, right, what it is that is correct or not for you as a part of the culture that you're in or a part of society. So embracing skepticism and embracing this idea of doubt, but not doubting yourself, but being patient enough to wait for the answers to come, to navigate the uncertainties, to be more self-assured on your path going forward, but without doubting your heart or doubting your own knowing. Okay. I'm going to stop sharing for a minute and see if people have asked questions because I can't see that here on the screen. Embracing LT trust. I don't know what LT trust means. TJ. Terry Strauss, good morning to you. And Terry says, OMG, wide open sponge. That's exactly right, as our resident reflector. Okay, I don't see any questions, so everybody must be doing pretty good. Let's see, time-wise this morning, let's talk about now what the Sun and Earth are going to be doing. Not today, but they will be moving on the 13th of the week. So that is on Wednesday, along with Saturn changing gates, the Sun and Earth change gates. And this is the energy that convinced me that it's a possibility that there's more going on this week than what meets the eye. Because I'm going to share my screen again, because the Sun will be at the gate 36, and I highlighted 22 because that's where the Sun is right now, right? The Sun is here until Wednesday. And 22 is called the gate of grace or graciousness. It's a moody gate. So we have moods that are shifting and morphing and shifting and morphing. We might be alternately shy and then bold, alternately open and then more closed-minded. And that's just the nature of this mood energy that is going through the collective. When we get to Wednesday, the gate 36 becomes the gate of the sun. And the gate 36 is kind of known as chaos or turbulence. It is a very emotional energy, and it is representative of the unpredictability of life and the ever-changing nature of life. And that ever-changing nature, as it is in the world around us, can also be exacerbated when we ourselves are restless or bored. And the gate 36 wants to leap, right? It wants to leap out and do something. It wants to embrace a new way of behaving, a new experience, and it can want to break free from routines, from habits, right? So the challenge is that on one hand, we're challenging the status quo. We don't want to be in the same old, same old. It's funny because I was sitting here thinking this morning that now that the days are getting longer, I can break the pattern of, you know, what do you do once it gets dark? Well, you turn on the television or you, you know, sit around instead of going out and doing things, right? You're more likely to stay home and stay close. With the light returning in the evening, you know, it's like, oh, can we go for a bike ride? Can we go for a walk? Can we go somewhere, do something, right? So we are feeling a little unsettled because we are wanting to break free of routines when the sun is at the 36, but it also provides us with those opportunities for new experiences and for experiences that create growth, right? So innovation is also a part of the experience possibly here. Now with the earth is sitting at the gate 6. And remember when we have the earth, it is often the challenge. If we want to reach the highest expression of the 36, which is creating new experiences that affect humanity, right? The bigger, like if I'm growing, then humanity's growing kind of energies. Then the gate 6 is called the gate of impact. And it's what must be kind of settled first before we can really reach the highest of the sun. And the gate 6 as the gate of impact is a red flag gate in human design, because we have to become very aware of our impact on the world, what our actions, our words, our decisions, and how they impact not only us, but our significant others, and, you know, moving out into the chain of humanity, and how individuals are all impacted because of the decisions that we're making. And it can be a positive impact, and it can be more of a not so positive impact that we make. But it encourages us to be accountable and mindful, emotionful of how we interact with the world around us. And when the sun and earth are both at these gates, there's sort of this synergy that develops between chaos and impact, right? So sometimes chaos is a good thing, right? It can create and break old patterns. And the unexpected events in our lives can sometimes lead to great aha moments, impactful moments. So this week, it's going to be very important for us all to remain flexible, open-minded, especially in the face of uncertainty, which is, you know, a la the sun up here, Saturn up here at gate 63, creating, you know, some kinds of uncertainty within us. And there's also the possibility here that chaos brings growth or expansion. Transformation brings chaos, brings an evolution in your consciousness. Let's put it that way. So we have to trust in our ability to adapt, to be creative in the way that we respond in the face of chaos or of change. And that's about, you know, your own personal life. if the energy shifts, then you have to be open and go with that flow of that shift. Now, collectively, because this is also a collective energy for the week, it's a time where the collective consciousness is heightened and people may feel called to take action where they haven't before. Maybe they're feeling called to make a contribution that enhances positive change for the planet. But it can also indicate significant shifts in or development of mindsets in society or in the collective, especially around politics or the environment or how we interact with one another. And I've been kind of thinking about this as time goes on. You know, a shift is coming as we move into the spring. We're not quite there yet. But does this gate, this week, kind of represent the opening salvo in a bigger shift that is happening as we get later into the spring, especially once Jupiter shifts out of Taurus and into Gemini energy, which in and of itself is a big shift, right? Jupiter's been a little bit less likely to leap or to jump, and that will be undone when Jupiter moves on into Gemini. And we'll talk more about that later. But I'm just wondering if this is an opportunity this week for us to understand the shifts and changes in the dynamics of people, of how we interact with people, and how it may lead us to further open-mindedness as we get further on into the year. And it's a big year, right? It's a big year. And remember, one of the key words for the year was pivot, being willing and able to pivot, to be able to respond positively to the changes presented to us by an ever-changing background in the world of people, changes in the political landscape, changes in the environment. The weather keeps us totally unbalanced these days, right? Like, you don't know what to expect. One day it's windy, the next day it's sunny and warm, the next day it's snowing. And, you know, fires break out in weird places, and it's just keeping us on our toes, basically, keeping us aware, right? Keeping awareness, but without going down the rabbit hole of fear that can be created when the world seems like it's changing constantly. All right. That is it for me today, guys. I wish you a blessed week. On Friday, I will have Pia and Cullen with me from the Pleiadian Earth energy. We'll be looking at the calendar of the Pleiadians and talking a bit about that. Thank you all for being here with me today. Take care. Bye for now.
Do you wish you could better understand yourself and what is going on in the world? Well, grab your cup of coffee or tea and join the podcast Living Astrology with Janet Hickox for Astrology, Human Design, and Gene Key's Wisdom. Mondays and Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Podcasts are available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and your other favorite outlets.